In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5 and 6, page 866 in your Bibles, we're going to begin our reading at chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly. That means carefully, watchfully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So far the reading of God's infallible, inspired word. We read that passage of Scripture as one of the passages of Scripture for Lord's Day 39, the instruction there on the fifth commandment. Lord's Day 39, question And answer 104, what doth God require in the fifth commandment? Answer, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. May God bless the instruction in His Word and in this catechism, Lord's Day. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's very easy for us to see that the fifth commandment deals with the matter of authority and obedience. Authority and obedience. The fifth commandment, to honor those in authority, that is the framework, that is the structure of all family and society. So it's not only a question of how children behave themselves over against their parents. It is that. Honor your father and your mother. But it's also how all of us must conduct ourselves over against all who are placed in authority over us. Father and mother are mentioned because the family is the cell of society, out of which all other structures grow, all other relationships, all other authority figures. What is our relationship to those in authority over us? So the Catechism lets the Word of God shine upon all areas of life, the family, the school, society, the church, government. Honoring parents. That is especially the children's part in the covenant. Honor your father and your mother. And our part in the covenant, God's covenant, is that we are obedient to God and His commandments, and therefore we are obedient to all those who are in authority over us. Our part in the covenant. So under the title, giving honor to father and mother, notice with me, first of all, children, give honor. In the second place, the parental duties that are mentioned here in this Lord's Day. And then thirdly, the Lord's strong incentive for this obedience. Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. The Apostle Paul is writing that to the church in Ephesus, and you see from that that he addresses the children. Children are a part of the church. There are those who look at children as questioning their salvation. They can't be sure of their salvation. They may even call God their father. Children are a part of the church. They are baptized members of the church, and that's why the Apostle Paul addresses the Word of God to them also, as well as their parents. Children, obey your parents. And he backs that up with, then, this is what the fifth commandment is all about. Honor thy father and thy mother. So what is this God-willed obedience? Notice I call it God-willed obedience. The Catechism answers, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and to all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction with due obedience. So, The nature of God-willed obedience is honor, love, fidelity. That's important. It's not just obey. Even the wicked world understands that it's important for children to obey their parents. And they know that it's important for citizens to obey the laws of the country. A pagan country like China is renowned for the fact that children will obey their parents. They don't have to be told twice. Public schools demand that the children will obey their teachers. We notice in that even those who have dethroned God, that is, do not acknowledge God as the source of all authority, they still demand obedience, order, discipline. They realize that obedience is one of those pillars of society. The church, you and I are not satisfied with that kind of obedience. You see, with all their enthusiasm about authority and obedience, they can still be just as anti-Christian and really have great disobedience because it's completely dissociated from God and His authority. So we're not just talking about obedience, but we're talking about a God-willed obedience. Children, obey your parents. What does Ephesians 6 verse 1 say? In the Lord. For His sake. In His grace and power. Children, obey the Lord, your parents in the Lord. All Scripture testifies to God's sovereign authority. God rules. We read in Romans 13, there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God alone rules. And now God delegates that rule or that authority to others over us. Perhaps, parents, when you tell your children to do something, they might respond, well, why? Why do I have to do that? What is your response? I know at times I would have said to my children, well, because I said so. But is that really the best answer? Because I said so. Does it mean because I'm bigger? Because I'm stronger? Shouldn't we instead say to our children, why do I have to obey? Because our God demands that of you. Because God wills that for you. If we do not see, if we do not recognize God's authority as the principle of all authority over us, then there's really no authority to keep a man and a wife together in marriage, is there? Then they can kind of do whatever they want, and that's why we have so many one-parent homes, isn't there? Then there's really no authority for one obeying government, and everyone can do whatever they want. But it's God's authority, which He delegates to those over us, placed over us by God Himself. Therefore, we obey. So, children, obey your parents, not because they're bigger or they're stronger than you, but because God has chosen those parents and has given them to you to rule over you, to guide you, to care for you. I want you to think a moment, boys and girls, about Isaac. God came with a command to Abraham. Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to offer him up to me. And remember that Abraham's about 100 years old when his son Isaac is born. At this particular time, Isaac is about 20, 22 years old. That means that Abraham is about 120, 22 years old. Is Isaac obeying Dad, climbing up that mountain? He knows that there's no sacrifice with him. Because Dad is bigger or stronger than him? Or is Isaac aware that God has placed Abraham over him and he is going to obey his father? You can almost picture in your mind Isaac, as it were, giving his hands behind his back to be tied up as a sacrifice. Not because Dad is bigger or stronger, but because Dad said, let's go. And he was obedient to God's will for him. Obey your parents in the Lord. For God's sake, in His power and grace, so that children, you say, when you are given a command, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the answer is, God says, obey. Obey. Unless they would tell you, which may God forbid, to do something wrong, but otherwise, obey. I obey because God says it. I obey for Jesus' sake. I obey out of thankfulness because I'm one of God's children and I've been given godly parents to care for me. That means, boys and girls, that we obey not grumbling and complaining about it and slamming a door and huffing and puffing about it. One thinks about that older son in the parable of the prodigal son. Usually a lot of attention is paid to the prodigal son who finally comes back, but that older son. Oh, he was an obedient son, wasn't he? He stayed home, but what was his view of staying at home? He says to his dad, all these years I slaved for you. That was the kind of obedience this older brother gave. Not a willing, eager acceptance of what his father gave to him. Not thankfulness. God wants childlike obedience. That means out of love. Acknowledging God's sovereignty. Doing it because of God's redeeming work in Jesus Christ. Able to do it because of the power of the Holy Spirit living in our hearts so that we say no to sin and we say yes to what God wants us to do. That is what the Catechism calls our due obedience. That is the obedience that is requested, is demanded of us by our God. And what is this shape, does this God-ordained or God-willed obedience take? The Catechism says that we honor with love and fidelity. Well, what is honor? Two things which distinguish Christian obedience from counterfeits. Christian obedience comes from the heart. It's not just an outward mechanical, okay, he says I got to do it, I better do it. From the heart. Delighting in God, delighting in God's will for us. From the heart. It's spiritual. Second of all, Christian obedience is differentiated from counterfeit obedience. We do it out of thankfulness and not out of fear. We do it out of thankfulness, not out of fear. What's going to happen if I don't? We're thankful to God for our salvation, aren't we? We're thankful for God giving us Christian parents who care enough about us, to instruct us, to correct us, to guide us, to care for us. So what is it to honor? I think a good story in the Bible is of the children of Noah. Noah, that God-fearing man, that preacher of righteousness who built the ark for 120 years, believing God's word, he obeyed. What a saint of God. But every saint is a sinner, isn't it? After the ark has rested on Mount Ararat, Noah and his family are able to come down. Noah's a farmer. He plants a vineyard. He gathers the grape. He makes a good wine. Nothing wrong with any of that. But then he overindulges, doesn't he? He overindulges, and therefore he's not able to control himself, and he is laying immodestly in his tent. And Ham stumbles into that tent, and he discovers his father laying there in an immodest way. And now notice, usually a child of God would be embarrassed then. But Ham delights in it. He can't wait to get out of that tent to tell his brothers what his dad is doing and to ruin the reputation of his father. And over against that sinful attitude of Ham, boys and girls, you remember the other two brothers, Shem and Japheth. They took a robe, and they took that robe on their shoulders, and between them they walked backwards into the tent, through the tent flap, up to their father, and they cast the robe over their father to cover his nakedness. That is honoring one's father. They cared about the reputation of their father. They saw him in his weakness. But they didn't gloat over it. They didn't tell stories about it. But they covered him up. Honor. And that honor that we have then, boys and girls, for our parents, that honor has to be shown likewise by us outwardly. How do you do that? You do it by respect, don't you? Respect. Respecting Father, not because he's what he's done for you or who he is, but respecting him for the office that he has. And respecting your mother. They are your parents. God has given them. You respect that office. You love them. You love them for God's sake. You love them because God has given you those godly parents. Or some of you maybe have not had godly parents. You still love them. You love them because those are the ones that God has put in your life to bring you into being here. And when you're in the home, that honor is shown by obedience to them. Submitting to them. And that's always hard, isn't it? That's always hard. That's why we read in Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's hard for everyone to submit to someone else. And yet that's what we're called to do. We submit, we obey. So honor, love, respect, and then fidelity. What is fidelity? It means you remain true to them. You're in the home, boys and girls, for perhaps 18, 20, 21, 22 years. And dad and mom get older. While God's word says in Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. Thinking of little children. The commandment, honor your father and mother, knows no age limit. So when your parents become old, when your parents, perhaps in their older age, might be difficult, they don't have the patience that they used to have, when they become infirm or sick, or perhaps they're poor and they need help, we don't throw them over to the church and say, well, maybe the church can help you. Children, all ages, who have parents, honor them, love them, care for them as long as they're alive. As long as they're alive. Visit them. How sad to see some of these dear saints in nursing homes, day after day, week after week. No one visits them. They're able to see another person, for example, at the Byron Manor, having visitors every day, and some of these dear saints, kids have forgotten them. Maybe they live long distance away, lonely. We have a calling here. Honor your parents as long as they're alive. Do that, he says, the catechism says, by patiently bearing with their weaknesses. All those in authority have weaknesses. Whether it be a pastor, whether it be elders, whether it be parents, we all have weaknesses. We all have sin. And those weaknesses don't remain hidden, do they? The more and the longer you know a person, the more you know their spots, their blemishes. But the Heidelberger says, honor, love, fidelity to all those in authority over you. How? By being patient in their weaknesses. How much patience God doesn't have for us, huh? So if old grandpa starts getting cranky, we don't get cranky back. But we understand it's part of the age. Can't control it anymore. Patience. And what we have said here applies to all spheres of authority, doesn't it? Not only obey in the Lord, how beautifully the Apostle Paul by the Spirit lays out before the church in Ephesus every one of these different spheres. Marriage. Wives submitting to your husbands in the Lord as the church submits to Christ. Husbands, submit to Christ as Christ submits to His Father in heaven. Love your wives as you love your own bodies. The workplace. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, not with eye service, not as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You see the principle there. God has sole authority. God delegates it to those over us in the home, in the workplace. Romans 13, the government, in the church, elders, deacons, pastors, give honor to those who work amongst you. And, boys and girls, young people, with, for some of you, only 2 weeks left, for some of you, 3 weeks left, to your teachers and administrators. They rule over you. God has put them over you through your parents. Obey. Honor. Love. How important that is, isn't it? How wonderful it is that we've got parental schools. That parents can rely on Christian men and women to teach their children all about different facts about the world so that they are made ready to serve God in this world. Honor, love, fidelity. That's the calling for our children. But if you look closely at the catechism, as it explains this, it also lists the parental duties, doesn't it? We read there in Lord's Day 39, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me and submit myself to, what? Their good instruction and correction. What is the calling of parents? We have laid out in this commandment really the foundation for family life. It commands and expects of us to have children. God gives us children and it's good. And what are we taught then about parents and about families? Five things. Number one, God wills the family. God wills the family. We live in a terrible age in which there are many very selfish people who say, I don't want any children. I don't want to be bothered with children. I want to be free to do my own thing. Well, God has given us marriage, not only for the aid of one person with another person, a man with a woman, but God has given us the family for children to be given to us, to be born for us. And it should be the will of godly parents that God will give them children. And we think and we pray for those whom God doesn't give children, how they hurt. That's God's will. Children that we can love and nurture and raise up in the fear of the Lord. So God wills the family. It's good. Second of all, there should be good order in our families. There should be good order. One looks at the Indian tribes. They would have one chief to care for the Indians. Not two rival chiefs. One chief. In the home, there has to be one head of the family. And if the wife will not submit to her husband, then there's going to be a rivalry and children are sharp. Children are sharp. And they'll play the two of you against each other. God wants order. One head of the home. Wives submitting to their husbands. Children obeying the parents. And when the parents are out for maybe finally an evening by themselves, then children obeying the babysitter that's placed over them or obeying the older brother or sister in whose care they are. Good order. Thirdly, parents must be in agreement in their instruction of the children. Parents must be in agreement in their instruction. How sad we see the home of Isaac and Rebekah. They were not at one in their instruction, were they? Isaac had his favorites. Rebecca had her favorites. One, discussing together so the children will not go to one or the other depending on who will be more favorable in their case. Be in agreement. Fourthly, parents must model the honor and submission in their own marriage. Husbands, do your children see you honoring your wife? Wives, do your children see you submitting to your husband? How in the world can you expect your children to submit to you if you are unwilling to submit to your husband? And how are the children supposed to submit to their parents if they don't see their father submitting? Perhaps to his employer or submitting to the elders or to the pastor. If they hear you talking bad about those over you, you can expect they're going to talk bad about you. Model to your children. Be examples to your children of the lives that they are called to live. Do you show, parents, honor and love, fidelity to your children's grandparents? There's quite often a thing said about in-laws being outlaws. That's a bad saying. I have to show the same trust and love and honor to my mother-in-law, to Mrs. Spreensma's mother, as I would if my mother were still living. She's my family. So in our homes, may we as children be able to see our parents honoring and loving and visiting their parents. Fifthly, parents, realize that you represent God to your children. Fathers, your behavior and your hand as it cares for your children should be a picture of our Father in heaven's hand loving and caring for his children. Model that. Recognize you are a picture of your Father. How horrible. How absolutely horrible when one hears about abuse, parental abuse of children or of their spouses. What a terrible picture some of these young girls have of when they have to say, "Our Father in heaven," and they remember an abusive father on earth. Remember, fathers and mother, you represent God's love and care for his children. When you stretch out your hand, may our children not shrink back in fear because they're afraid that hand is going to slap them all of a sudden. But may they see that hand of father and mother as the gracious, loving hand of God who holds all of his children and loves them. Paul writes here by the Spirit, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger." How can you do that? One provokes one's children to anger when one is not willing to give their time to them. Oh, you can give them money. You can work so hard in the office so that they have Christian education and everything else. But how about yourself? How much time do you have with your children? When have you last held them on your lap? Held them in your arm? Said to them you love them? When's the last time that you have complimented them, built them up, and said, "That was good. I was really pleased with this." Children soak that up. They need that just like flowers need rain from the sky. The praise of their parents. Provoke not your children to anger. How are we to rear our children? Our children must submit to our good instruction and correction. You see, the instruction of our boys and our girls and our young people, that is parental instruction. That's where the buck ends. Not at the pastor, not at the elders, not at the Christian school teacher even, not at everyone else. Parents. That's why we don't go send our kids to government schools, do we? That's not the government's business. Parents, raise your children. Parents, teach your children. And how wonderful then that we as parents have also to help us our Christian schools. And that's why we give for them. And that's why we pray for them as we do. Teach your children. Be there, fathers and mothers, to help them with their schoolwork, to go over their catechism lessons, to have family devotions together in the morning and the evening and family worship time. Teach your children. Teach them the fear of the Lord. Teach them your love for God. Tell them what God has done for you. Share your faith with them. They must submit to your good instruction and your correction. Discipline. Spare not the rod, says Proverbs, but not in anger, but in love. And that's why I counsel young parents, not the belt, not the hand. Remember, you want the hand to be a picture of God's hand. I don't want my children afraid of my hand. But somewhere aboard, a stick. A board or a stick so that you actually have to walk and get it first. So that hopefully when you come back with it, it's not in wrath, but in love. Care for their souls. And after you have corrected them, on their backside, it's built for that, then forgiving them also. And letting them know that God forgives them when they're sorry. Model God to your children. Maintain God's right. God demands to be obeyed. Obeying those over us. Why? Because it pleases the Lord, we read. Because it pleases the Lord to govern us by their hand, by our hand. God does that through godly parents. Colossians 3, verse 10. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. On Mother's Day, Father's Day, perhaps you buy a gift for Dad and Mom. Perhaps you give them a kiss. Do you really love Dad and Mom? Obey. Obey your parents. And now, interestingly, the catechism doesn't come with the motivation for it. It is in the third section of the catechism, so it does come under thankfulness. But God comes with a promise, doesn't He? And that's what God's Word says too. Honor thy father and thy mother. The Apostle Paul, when he says, children, obey your parents, he backs it up with the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. God has a promise. And what is the promise? How does He excite us to this kind of obedience? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's the promise. What does that mean? That it may be well with thee. That you may live long. Now that does not mean that every child who obeys the Lord or obeys their parents is going to have a long life. It doesn't. We know that some of our children die while in the womb yet, shortly after the womb. Some of them die early in infancy, only a few years old. But this was a promise that came to God's people organically. This was a promise that came to Israel, God's people. And God says, now keep my commandments. Obey my authority as I rule over you through your parents, through the elders and the people, through all those who cared for God's children. Do that and you as a people, it will go well with you and you will dwell long in the land which I give to you. That was the land of Canaan. When God's people would walk in obedience and fear of the Lord, it went well with them. But when they disobeyed, when they turned away from the Lord, when they became disobedient, things did not go well for them. Then they were taken out of the land. They were under enemies and finally to a foreign land. The promise. Obey. And it will go well with thee and thou wilt dwell long in the land which the Lord thy God has given thee. What is that land for us? Well, we know. We know, don't we, that Canaan was a picture of heaven. And so God's Word comes to you, children, boys and girls, young people, but it comes to all of us under the various spheres of authority that we are. Be obedient, and it will go well with thee. The Lord's going to bless your obedience, and you will dwell long in the land which the Lord is giving us, heaven. We've got a place there. And that obedience isn't just to the nice and the good And the believing parents is to whoever God places over us, right? They might be unbelieving parents. It might be an unbelieving president. It might be unbelieving employer. Honor. Obey. God's command. It will go well with you. Because God placed them over us, and our obedience to them is obedience to our God. It's His will for us. His goodwill. That's positive. But negatively, God is terribly displeased with rebels. God is terribly displeased. We read in Proverbs 10, verse 30, "The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth." No impenitent rebel will inherit heaven. No child who remains rebellious against his parents will inherit heaven. Not as long as they remain in their sin. Let us all repent then. Can I say out of my youth that I was always obedient? No, I was not. Can I say that as an adult I always am obedient and that I honor those in authority over? No, I don't. How many times my mouth says different things and my actions show different things. How wonderful it is for us who are rebels by nature. That it's God's work in us. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit, but also it's by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Let you and me look then to Him who was the obedient servant of Jehovah, namely Jesus Christ. He never murmured or grumbled, but He set His face to go to Jerusalem, to suffer and die for our sins in order to do His Father's will. Jesus bore the punishment for our rebellion. Jesus merited His own life to be given to us so that we might inherit the new heavens and the new earth. Look to the Lord Jesus. Come with your prayers. He hears you. Ask for forgiveness for your stubbornness, rebellious ways. Repent. Obey. Proverbs 13, verse 13. "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." May God bless and may He shape our lives and our homes. God willed obedience, honor, love, fidelity to all those in authority over us. Why? Because we're thankful. We're thankful for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful. We're thankful that we're the family of God. We're thankful for our single members. We're thankful for our married couples. We're thankful for the children, the young people that Thou hast given to us, the church. And we pray, young and old, that we may again this evening have been taught from Thy Word, Thy will regarding those who have authority over us. Make us, O Lord, enable us, O Lord, to be obedient, even as our Lord Jesus was obedient to Thee. In His name we pray, amen. Number 360, family happiness. And as he lists that blessedness, the man who fears Jehovah with a wife in his home and joyful children around his table, stanza 4, "Lo, on him that fears Jehovah shall this blessedness attend. For Jehovah out of Zion shall to thee his blessing send." Let's sing all 5 stanzas. Unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.